It's not fun. It's incredibly not fun. And worse than that, it's awkward. Lan Wangji shows up at 6:30 a.m., same as every morning, but he's back to barely acknowledging Wei Wuxian, giving him a single nod in greeting and waiting on the doorstep, not brewing tea or checking on the rabbits. Wei Wuxian, for his part, is tired as hell and wouldn't even know how to deal with this on a full night's sleep. So he just gets dressed and drives them, silently, for once, to the warehouse. He listens to nothing on the radio, and Lan Wangji stares out the window the whole time, hands resting flat on his thighs in a way Wei Wuxian thinks would equal anxious fidgeting in other people. Or maybe not. Wei Wuxian doesn't know anymore. He has no clue what's going on in Lan Wangji's head, like a door has been shut to him, and he wishes that thought didn't make his throat feel as tight as it does. And since this is already the worst day Wei Wuxian has had in a while, of course Jin Zixun is standing outside the warehouse when they pull up. "Wei Wuxian," he drawls, one hand holding his brand new phone, the other resting on the hilt of his sword. Jin Zixun is the kind of asshole who still carries his sword on his belt instead of in a Qiankun pouch, not because of tradition or danger, but because he likes to flaunt it. Wei Wuxian supposes that between his unfortunate personality and terrible reputation, Jin Zixun must take flaunting opportunities where he can. Sometimes Wei Wuxian's charitable act for the week is simply not dragging him in every possible way. "You're on time for once." "I'm an hour early," Wei Wuxian says, stepping onto the sidewalk and fighting not to punctuate his statement with a yawn. Lan Wangji is a few steps behind him, and Wei Wuxian has to tell himself not to stop and wait for him to catch up like usual. "Is your new phone clock set wrong, or is the attendant who usually tells time for you out sick today?" There's a vein throbbing in Jin Zixun's temple, and Wei Wuxian wishes he were awake enough to really appreciate it. "You'd better watch yourself, Wei Wuxian. I'm moving up to district supervisor soon. I'll have the power to make your life absolutely miserable." "You already do," Wei Wuxian assures him, "but thanks for the update." Jin Zixun's lip curls. "Just wait until I'm back in Lanling. You won't be able to find a consortium job in any district. You and your whatever he is." He glares behind Wei Wuxian, where Lan Wangji is presumably standing. Wei Wuxian waves his hand. "He's not. Leave him out of your temper tantrum. That's all me. What do you really want?" Jin Zixun somehow manages to sniff imperiously without breaking his glare. "My promotion involves a transfer back to Lunling once this project is complete. You have 1 week to finish here, no more." "It won't happen," Wei Wuxian says flatly. "There's still too much stuff." "I don't care. You'll be finished in a week if you want to be paid in full, and after that I'll be out of this second-rate city, so I'd suggest showing up on time from now on." Jin Zixun unsheathes his sword. In Wei Wuxian's peripheral vision, Lan Wangji makes an aborted move, a step forward, and then Jin Zixun steps on the blade and flies off because he's, again, an asshole who can get away with ignoring zoning laws about flying in populated areas. "Ugh," Wei Wuxian says with feeling, scrubbing at his eyes. "Fucking wonderful. I need coffee. Hey, at least you get paid hourly, right?" he asks, glancing back before remembering Lan Wangji doesn't want to talk to him. Lan Wangji looks at him and says nothing, just frowns the smallest frown possible. Wei Wuxian quickly turns away. His day gets even better after lunch, after cold congee and 6 hours of silence from Lan Wangji, when he moves to start in on the household goods section of the warehouse and discovers all of the small to medium-sized appliances have been stacked right around the switch box on the back wall. "Shit," he says to the general area where he thinks Lan Wangji is. "Maybe let me take point here for a bit. They put these appliances right by an electrical hub, so if any of them have lingering resentful energy, they're probably super volatile by now. Good chance at least one is going to explode." He holds a hand over an electric fan teetering on top of a pile of outdated toasters, and when his detection talismans don't spike, he gingerly grabs it and holds it up to catch the light. The fun part is, you never know which one until it goes up in flames. One time at school, Nie Huaisang and I... He stops. Right. The warehouse is its usual eerie quiet, save some faint ticking from the corner with a bunch of clocks, and there's a chill radiating from the cold concrete floor, and neither of those things are as uncomfortable as the way Lan Wangji is standing 5 paces away with his hand tucked behind his back. And gods, it's not like Wei Wuxian isn't used to disappointing literally every single person in his life, but it somehow doesn't get easier with time. Especially when he doesn't even know what he did in this case. Was it following Lan Wangji in the first place? Or interrupting his call? Or had Lan Wangji just hit his Wei Wuxian interaction limit yesterday? Nothing else to be done about it. Wei Wuxian drops his arm. Look, he says. Go home, he should say. Please, because I can't do a whole day of whatever this is. What he says is, sorry for startling you yesterday. In his peripheral vision, Lan Wangji stiffens. I wasn't, like, checking up on you or anything, or trying to invade your privacy. I just... He still can't say, I was going to invite you to dinner. It's still too embarrassing. I thought you had left without saying goodbye to the rabbits. That's all. I wasn't... I didn't... Ugh. He presses his free hand to the bridge of his nose, grimacing. It won't happen again. He's about to say something else, or maybe he's about to finally shut up, he hasn't decided yet, when the electric fan bursts into flame. Huh, Wei Wuxian says, then shit, and drops it onto the concrete, where he stomps on it until the fire recedes, leaving a charred-out husk and a smear of soot on the floor. It takes about 3 seconds, long enough for Lan Wangji to make an aborted move forward. It's okay, it's over, Wei Wuxian says quickly. I sewed suppression talismans into my boots ages ago. I'm not even burned. Well, my fingers are, but my feet are fine. He stares at the small mess and wrinkles his nose as a wisp of charred plastic variety smoke floats up. Anyway, clearly this day isn't going well for either of us, and it's not like we're going to make Jin Zishun's deadline anyway, so I can handle things. You don't have to force yourself to be here. Wei Wuxian blows on his slightly singed fingertips as the silence stretches between them. When he finally glances over, Lan Wangji is frowning at him.
Oh,
Lan Wangji says.
I hurt you.
What? No, this was me being a dumbass, Wei Wuxian assures him. Good rule of thumb, always pay close attention to things that might spontaneously combust.
Yesterday,
Lan Wangji continues, instead of taking notes on Wei Wuxian's very wise and helpful advice.
When I told you to go away, that hurt you.
Wei Wuxian freezes mid-blow. He very carefully does not look up. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees Lan Wangji cock his head and make a soft, considering noise before dropping his gaze back to the inventory list. It takes Wei Wuxian longer to move. It's really something, he thinks, being so summarily pried open by someone, and then set aside just as swiftly. He can't be blamed for not knowing what to do with it. And, well, he's said what he wanted to say. There isn't much more he can do short of beg Lan Wangji to explain what happened, what Wei Wuxian did wrong, and it seems like being overly familiar was the whole problem in the first place, so he won't be doing that. It's fine. They'll finish out this job, and... I apologize, Lan Wangji says, abrupt. What? Wei Wuxian jerks his head up. Lan Wangji is still staring at the list, his shoulders taut, like he's steeling himself. You don't have to, Wei Wuxian says, rushed, trying to ignore the crazy hope sparking in his chest, simply because Lan Wangji is talking to him at all. I shouldn't have... Lan Wangji's mouth tightens, and Wei Wuxian stops talking, as if Lan Wangji had held up a hand for silence. Lan Wangji blinks, almost surprised, and lifts his eyes.
I am very protective of my family.
A pause.
I was talking to my brother last night. Yes, I was startled when you arrived, and reacted poorly. I'm not good at...
He stops again, consternation and determination warring on his face.
At letting people be close to me, or those I care about.
Wei Wuxian's gut twists uncomfortably. It's okay, he says. You don't have to explain. I know I can be a bit much.
No, Lan Wangji says. That's not... Please, I am trying to say I'm sorry.
He looks at Wei Wuxian expectantly. I know... Wei Wuxian says, bewildered. I can hear that, but you really don't...
I'm sorry,
Lan Wangji says again, pointed, meeting Wei Wuxian's eyes. Oh, Wei Wuxian says. Oh, you're forgiven?
Lan Wangji still looks slightly vexed, but he nods once. Then he holds out his hand. May I? Wei Wuxian has officially had enough confusion for one day. He doesn't even ask, just nods, and watches as Lan Wangji reaches over and very gently tugs Wei Wuxian's hand away from his chest. The tips of Lan Wangji's fingers glow a faint blue as he holds them up to Wei Wuxian's burns. It's... Wei Wuxian should say something, tell Lan Wangji it won't really work, but as the healing energy starts flowing, he shuts his mouth. It might not get rid of the problem, but it feels good. Cool, tingling just a bit, infinitely better than Wei Wuxian's own plan, which was to blow on his fingers a bit more and then generally suffer about it until the burns faded. Embarrassingly, he feels his eyes start to sting. He's going to just pretend it's from the pain that's no longer there. He pulls his arm back after a minute, shaking his sleeve over his hand so Lan Wangji won't notice the burns haven't faded, and clears his throat. Thanks. Thank you. Lan Wangji nods. His eyes don't leave Wei Wuxian's. This is too much, really. Anyone would be bowled over under this gaze. It's not just Wei Wuxian. I should probably... You know, that batch of stuff over there also looks dangerously close to the switch box. I'd better go, check on it. Here, you can get started on this pile. It should be harmless now that we've found the wild card. He shoves his own inventory journal into Lan Wangji's hands. And then he doesn't run away. He definitely doesn't run. But he does very calmly fling himself around the side of a large armoire. The moment he's out of Lan Wangji's line of sight, he slumps, a puppet with its strings cut, bracing his hands on his thighs. He stays there for a few seconds, breathing in the stale warehouse air and fighting a grin. His hand is still tingling, and not just the burns. It's the backs of his fingers, too, where Lan Wangji had steadied Wei Wuxian with his free hand. That was, Wei Wuxian realizes, the first time Lan Wangji has ever touched him deliberately. It takes him longer than it should to realize his detection talismans aren't just vibrating in response to his own feelings. Wei Wuxian straightens, frowning down at his wrists, then at the dark space around him. His left talisman buzzes with slowly but surely growing intensity, and his right one has started to heat up as well, reaching the sensation of hot tea spattering across his skin. It's a greater reaction than anything on this job so far. The last time one of his talismans grew this hot was the music box case, which had been a spirit strong enough to destroy half a kitchen and start a whole litigation with a consortium over who paid for the damages, and also strong enough to break three of Wei Wuxian's fingers, which in his opinion was far more annoying than the kitchen thing. In the span of a second, the right talisman flares even hotter. There's something here in this little pocket of old cushions and dusty curio cases, and it's angry. Okay. Wei Wuxian pulls his dietzi from his belt, scanning the surfaces around him and gritting his teeth against the heat on his forearm. Pro, whatever this thing is, it isn't smart enough to hide its energy. Con, the energy it isn't hiding is... a lot. It's not stable enough to lurk, which means it's going to manifest sooner rather than later, and it'll be better to make the first move while he can. He'll have to... Ah, there. His eyes land on an unsheathed, wood-handled knife in one of the curio cabinets, its blade clean of dust, shimmering with light that definitely isn't coming from its surroundings. There you are, he murmurs and steps closer. The buzzing and heat both ramp up. Oh, you're so tiny. Don't worry, I've learned plenty of lessons about underestimating little things. He's about to reach out when he remembers he has a partner now. His talismans buzz, if possible, even more intensely. Shut up, he tells them. Lan Zhan, he calls. Yes? Lan Wangji appears by Wei Wuxian's shoulder almost immediately, like he hadn't been doing inventory at all, like he'd been just standing back there looking after Wei Wuxian, waiting. You are going to kill me, Wei Wuxian complains. Forget curses and demons, I'm gonna die of a heart attack. Lan Wangji frowns at him. Then his gaze flicks past Wei Wuxian to the curio case, immediately honing in on the knife. What is that? I think we're about to find out, Wei Wuxian says. Whatever it is, it's too powerful to let be, like beyond our usual fare, so we should... Oh good, you brought your sword. Lan Wangji finishes drawing a sword out of a Qiankun pocket in his robes. He shoots Wei Wuxian an odd look, the slightest dip of an eyebrow, and Wei Wuxian reads, Of course I brought my sword. What a strange question. What a strange question. Right. They've done this a few times together before, albeit nothing sword-worthy, just minor spirits and low-level cursed objects. So Wei Wuxian makes quick work of sketching a chalk array across the concrete around the curio cabinet, Lan Wangji dragging a stack of cushions and a heavy-looking desk out of his path as he goes. When they're done, Wei Wuxian shoos Lan Wangji to the edge of the chalk lines and makes his way to an unmarked spot of floor in front of the cabinet. He glances back. Lan Wangji has his sword hooked into his belt, one hand resting lightly on the hilt. The sword itself is elegant, its sheath patterned white and blue, finely carved hilt glinting like it's newly polished. Wei Wuxian has never had sword envy. Sui Bian was perfectly fine, thank you very much, and all he'd ever needed. But he can appreciate that this is a nice sword. Powerful, in all likelihood. Well cared for, in all certainty. Ready? Wei Wuxian asks, even though he knows the answer. Lan Wangji is never not ready. Your sword, Lan Wangji says. You should be ready as well.
No need. Wei Wuxian twirls his dietzi. That's why I have you.
He shoots Lan Wangji a grin, ignoring whatever flashes across Lan Wangji's face at that, then looks back at the cabinet and shakes a pre-made talisman into his hand. All right, Wei Wuxian insists in life. Let's see what's bothering you, hmm? He glances at Lan Wangji. Lan Wangji nods. Wei Wuxian reaches out and unlocks the curio cabinet. It's instantaneous. A massive energy bursts forth, sending Wei Wuxian stumbling back. He barely manages to not smudge the array, coming to a stop just outside its lines next to Lan Wangji, who, of course, has barely swayed back. Damn, though, the energy is rolling off this spirit in waves. It explodes out of the knife as a roiling mass of dark energy, smoke and shadow trying to break through the array lines and come together into a solid form all at once. In the space between blinks, the masses become the vague shape of a woman, grayscale and floating above the floor, hair indistinguishable from the dark shadows that surround her. The chalk lines below her feet are eroding under the onslaught of energy. Wei Wuxian flings the talisman. The spirit freezes, struck, but Wei Wuxian can already see the paper starting to burn. He revises his assessment from strong to really strong, and probably stronger for having been sitting near the damn switchbox. Lan Zhan, he says, low, do you have your Guqin with you? Lan Wangji's eyes flick to him, startled. I do. Good, that's good. Okay, I need you to use it to reinforce the warehouse's perimeter. With music, Lan Wangji can stay in one place to reach all edges of the spiritual perimeter, which is important because, one, they can't risk this thing getting out, and that array is only going to do so much, and, two, Wei Wuxian is going to have to keep the spirit away from Lan Wangji, which will be much easier if he's sitting still. You reinforce it, Lan Wangji says. I will subdue the spirit. Nope, it has to be you, Wei Wuxian says distractedly. Shit, the talisman's nearly burned through. Lan Wangji frowns, starting to unsheathe his sword. A blue light dances at the edge of Wei Wuxian's vision, the wan warehouse lights reflecting tenfold on the finger width of exposed blade, and an instant later, the talisman dissolves into ash. A gale of wind whips around the spirit, sweeping away half of the array as she flies forward, ghostly arm outstretched. Shit! Wei Wuxian gets out and throws himself at Lan Wangji. He gets there right as the spirit does, wedging himself between them. 5 needlepoint fingers, sharp as the knife she was confined in, rake across Wei Wuxian's ribs. His back collides with Lan Wangji's shoulder, and he uses that to brace himself, kicking this ghost square in what might be your stomach. Wherever it lands, and the ghost reels back. Lan Wangji sucks in a harsh breath, his hands coming up to grip Wei Wuxian's elbow, his back, his presence the only thing keeping Wei Wuxian upright for a moment. Ah, fuck, Wei Wuxian says, because the knife spirit has claws, what the fuck? He doesn't take his eyes off the spirit as he gets his feet back under him. Lan Zhan, I don't think she likes your sword very much. In front of the curio case, the spirit raises a shadow-shrouded hand to her mouth. Wei Wuxian's blood drips off her fingers, spattering the floor where her feet don't touch.
Oh, the spirit says, I see. Little lightless cultivator. Lonely, lonely little lightless cultivator.
Lan Zhan, Wei Wuxian says, the perimeter!
And then he raises his dietzi to his lips. The first high, soaring note seems to take the spirit by surprise. Her jagged slash of a mouth opens, but only a low keen comes out. Wei Wuxian steps forward, breath not wavering even as pain flares on his side, weaving a melody that draws the shadows tighter, that pulls her resentful energy back around herself. Over his shoulder, Lan Wangji stays frozen for only another second or two, then drops to the floor, cross-legged. A guqin appears in his lap. Wei Wuxian flicks his gaze between Lan Wangji and the spirit, moving between them as the low, reverberating notes of the guqin join his ditzi. The spiritual energy in Lan Wangji's music passes through him in waves, dulling and then sharpening the buzzing in his talismans. It's powerful, definitely enough to hold the perimeter while Wei Wuxian takes care of the spirit who is flailing against Wei Wuxian's song. She flings out a clawed arm and the curio glass shatters, shards flying through the air. Wei Wuxian stops playing in favor of throwing his arms over his face, lurching to the right to block anything coming Lan Wangji's way, and the spirit takes the chance to draw herself up, eyes red and flickering.
"You're out of your league, little cultivator,"
the spirit says. "Little cultivator, again." Wei Wuxian kind of wants to argue. He's perfectly average-sized, a bit tall even. But he knows that's not the priority here.
"You should have never opened that cabinet door. Do you know who I am? Do you know how long I've been here, waiting for someone foolish enough to disturb my slumber?"
No, sorry, Wei Wuxian says. "Care to enlighten me?" The spirit's eyes flash brighter. They're not flame-like, Wei Wuxian notes, peeking out from behind his arms. You'd expect flickering red eyes to be flame-like, or ember-like, at least, on an old ghost. But they're more like a dying neon sign, harsh and electric. He can almost hear the hum sputtering in and out like a movie sound effect.
"Longer than you have been alive, little cultivator. I,"
the spirit declares,
"am the Ghostmaker."
Cool name, very evocative. As he speaks, Wei Wuxian slowly lifts his ditzi again.
"It is more than a name," the spirit screeches. "It is an ancient title, earned over the course of centuries. A lethal spirit, a weapon forged in the blood of evildoers and sharpened by the tears of generations."
She pauses, not for breath, but for emphasis. Lan Wangji's music swells around them.
"Surely you've heard of me."
"I haven't," Wei Wuxian says apologetically, "but I have a bad memory, so don't take it personally." He brings the DC to his lips before she can say anything else, spinning a new melody, one that prods and pulls at the spirit, the Ghostmaker, searching for the thread of energy binding her here. She's a mass of emotions and ideas as inscrutable as the darkness swirling through the air. He presses her back with her own energy, searching, searching. Something feels off, he thinks, sidestepping a lash of shadow. She doesn't feel ancient. She feels confused. The spirit lets out a shriek of anger, and the guqin strikes a harsh chord behind him. Wei Wuxian hears the warning in it, gaze snapping up to see the knife rattle on the curio shelf, spinning to face him. It flies off the shelf, and he ducks just as an out-of-melody guqin note sounds, a wave of blue light intercepting the knife and turning it away from where it was very much aimed at Wei Wuxian's face. He feels it whistle past his hair, hears a clatter where it bounces off the wooden chest to his left. It falls, Wei Wuxian realizes, instead of burying itself in the wood, even though it collided point first. The knife is dull. The knife isn't a formidable weapon sharpened by the tears of generations. It just looks like one.
"Oh, I get it,"
Wei Wuxian says and switches to a new melody. Something less searching and more calling, because he's not reaching for the ancient pain of an entire family. He's reaching for the confusion and fear of a single spirit. He finds something in the darkness and pulls. Threads of resentful energy unravel, and the shadows dissipate until just the spirit floats there, shrinking back against the blown-out curio doors, desaturated and furious. She presses her hands over her ears, still shrieking wordlessly. "I figured it out, Lady Ghostmaker," Wei Wuxian shouts over her. "And by that I mean you're not the Ghostmaker. I mean you can absolutely call yourself that if you want, that's your choice, but the knife is a movie prop. This place is full of stuff like that. It must have gotten thrown in the mix. It's not even sharp, see? It's not real. Or it is real, but it's not a real weapon." Her screaming falters. Red eyes blink back at him. "There's no painful saga for you to avenge," Wei Wuxian tells her, trying not to breathe harshly. Between the cuts on his ribs and the ditzi playing and the whole resentful energy harnessing, he's feeling a bit dizzy. It's just you here. Just you and me and my friend, and neither of us have done anything to your family worth killing for, I promise. There's a long pause. Lan Wangji's melody shifts to something softer, calmer.
A movie prop,
the spirit says, finally. Her voice is smaller now. Lei Wuxian nods, though he isn't sure just how much she's processing right now. I should have realized earlier, he says, mostly over his shoulder to Lan Wangji. All that costume jewelry, those cocktail dresses, those truly weird divans. To the spirit, someone was using this place to smuggle cursed objects, and they hid them among a bunch of random things, like your prop knife. I don't know how long you've been here, but it hasn't been centuries. You're not the ghost maker, but you are a ghost, he adds gently. I'm sorry. Just a ghost, though, and not a revenge-seeking ghost, which is good news.
A movie prop, she repeats.
Wei Wuxian worries for a moment that she's stuck there, that without the excess energy she'd collected from being stored by electrical outlets and among other cursed objects, she's lost her awareness entirely. Then she says,
yes, a movie prop. I made it.
You made it? The spirit lowers her hands slightly. Her eyes are focused just beyond Wei Wuxian's shoulder.
I designed a lot of them. Props for the movie. 3 different knives. One was the Ghost Maker, a drama about betrayal and murder and revenge, she recites. A family plagued by the Ghost Maker, an evil knife spirit that started taking lives on its own.
That sounds riveting. Wei Wuxian bites down a hiss. Standing still and not fighting feels like he's letting the dizziness catch up, and he really can't afford that at the moment.
But, the spirit says, I died. I was going to work. I had the props in my van. I had been up all night finishing them. And I fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh, Wei Wuxian swallows. I'm sorry.
They kept filming anyway. They took the props out of the van and kept going. Only half a day off schedule.
I'm really sorry, Wei Wuxian offers. That was horrible of them.
I had been up all night,
the spirit says again. Her eyes flicker. He might be losing her. Listen, Wei Wuxian says, I can help you. What's your name?
All night, the spirit says. All night.
Shit. Tell me your name, Wei Wuxian says. Doesn't plead. Doesn't. We'll start there and it'll be okay, I promise. We can release your energy so you can be reborn, so your soul isn't destroyed. Another pause. Then her eyes shift, landing squarely on Wei Wuxian for the first time.
Destroyed?
She sounds scared, and then her eyes flare brighter.
Destroyed? I was already destroyed!
Shadows start to creep back toward her, rising from the floor, from the blown-out curio doors. Shit, shit. Wei Wuxian fumbles for his dietzi again as the spirit unfurls.
The Ghost Maker may be a story, but I'm real. I'm powerful. And I can see you, cultivator who's not a cultivator. I can see that you're empty. You have shadows where light should be. You have nothing. How can you help me?
And then she screams. The darkness bursts forth again, accompanied by a gale of wind. Through the cacophony, Wei Wuxian hears Lan Wangji shout, Wei Ying! He has a split second to process that, to hear his name in Lan Wangji's voice, to think, huh, before the ghost reaches him. Darkness surrounds him, dust and tiny slivers of glass from the broken curio cabinet kicking up in the air and choking him. Dark energy pours into him like a faucet turned on high. He won't last long unless he does something, unless he takes control of it. If he doesn't, he'll pass out, or worse, and the spirit will blow past him and attack Lan Wangji. And Lan Wangji can probably take her, but he'll be too distracted to strengthen the perimeter, and she might hurt him in the process. Wei Wuxian forces his arms to move, panting, feeling like his limbs are 10 times as heavy as they should be. The spirit's shriek rings in his ears, along with the pounding of his own heart. He gets his dietzi up because he has to. He plays a long, piercing note that spins into something eerie and punishing, because he has to. He forces the spirit's resentful energy to turn back on her, to consume itself, until all that's left of her are dispersing wisps of darkness on the concrete, because he has to. Then he falls to his knees. His Dietzy clatters to the floor beside him. The Guccine music, which had turned frantic in the last few seconds, cuts off sharply. A moment later, Lan Wangji crouches in front of Wei Wuxian, pulling his chin up. His eyes are wide as they rake over Wei Wuxian's face. "Are you okay?" Wei Wuxian wants to ask, and he sucks in a deep breath. "Ow!" he whines, pressing a hand to his side. His robes are damp, and he knows it's blood, which is a real shame, considering these are his nicest set of everyday robes. He's good at getting bloodstains out, but these are surely going to set before he can get them in the wash. "I know I disturbed her slumber and all, but that was really uncalled for." Lan Wangji's mouth cracks open. "Uncalled for," he repeats. "Yeah, I was only trying to help her," Wei Wuxian says. "You heard me, right, Lan Zhan? Good job with the perimeter, by the way. And deflecting the knife. That could have been bad, even if it was a prop." He pats his ear, which he's pretty sure he very nearly lost. "Good thing you were here." He starts to stand, and Lan Wangji stops him. "You're hurt," he says. "I'll deal with it later," Wei Wuxian says. But Lan Wangji is already moving. Before Wei Wuxian can stop him, his hand is hovering over Wei Wuxian's stomach, shifting toward the gashes. Healing energy starts to flow, and at first Wei Wuxian's mind goes blank. He hasn't felt a rush of spiritual energy passing through him like this in years. It's not like the small trickle of energy Lan Wangji used on his burned fingers. This is a flood crashing through him, threatening to carry him away. "It's not..." Confusion lands, heavy, on Lan Wangji's face. Wei Wuxian watches for a moment, mesmerized by how a whole damn emotion can happen in the line between someone's eyebrows. How did he ever think Lan Wangji was expressionless when everything about him has a world of meaning behind it? The way his gaze goes sharp when he's intrigued, the slight tightening of his mouth when he's frustrated, the softening around his eyes when he almost smiles. It's overwhelming. This tiny furrow in his brow holds more dawning panic than most people have in their entire body. And then he remembers why Lan Wangji's eyebrows are doing that. "Your core," Lan Wangji says, and the panic's in his voice now, too. "Something is wrong." "Fuck." "Nothing's wrong," Wei Wuxian says, and tries to push him away. Lan Wangji hardly budges, their hands clasped between them in some weird bloody handshake. "Something is wrong," Lan Wangji repeats, and the healing energy flares, the intensity making Wei Wuxian gasp. "Just stay still. I will call someone." "Lan Zhan, a doctor, Lan Wangji." Lan Wangji's mouth snaps shut. Wei Wuxian grits his teeth. Stop the energy transfer," he says. "Just stop." "No," Lan Wangji says. "No, your core. I can't feel it. The spirit..." "It wasn't the spirit," Wei Wuxian says. Energy crackles between them, coming off Lan Wangji in waves, seeking a home it won't find in Wei Wuxian's chest. "Fuck. Fuck." Wei Wuxian swallows. "I don't have a golden core," he says roughly. "Not like, oh, it's weak, it's informed, but at all, it's gone. That's what feels wrong." Wei Wuxian feels Lan Wangji's hands flex under his, and then go still. "Yeah," Wei Wuxian says. "Yeah, so stop. It won't help." Now Lan Wangji's grip goes slack, the energy draining away. Shock flickers across his face in the widening of his eyes, the slight parting of his lips. Or maybe it's horror? Maybe both. It's the kind of thing that earns both. Wei Wuxian can almost see things slotting into place. Wei Wuxian's lack of a sword, his abundance of talismans, the way he crashed to his knees just now because he got all wobbly without a way to fend off the resentful energy. Lan Wangji's expression stays frozen in a way that's worse than outright horror, and yeah, Wei Wuxian has never told anyone about his core. Wen Qing and Wen Ning know, because they were there. But this reaction is... about what he expected. "How?" Lan Wangji whispers. "Not important," Wei Wuxian says. His voice, somehow, stays steady. "Not important?" "No. What does it matter if it disappeared, or I got sick, or I gambled it away in a game of dice? It's gone. It is what it is. I'm done talking about it now. He pauses. In the absence of their music, of the spirit's shrieks, the silence between them feels like a physical weight on Wei Wuxian's shoulders. If you could, he starts, maybe not tell anyone else, though. He swallows again. Please. Another long silence. Lan Wangji's eyes search his face like they're looking for whatever Wei Wuxian isn't saying. Wei Wuxian wants to flash him a grin, come up with something insouciant yet clever to shift the conversation, but, like his spiritual energy, he's running on empty here. Your wound, Lan Wangji says, eventually. I'll take care of it, it's fine, Wei Wuxian says quickly, temporary relief making him lightheaded. I mean, objectively, it's not fine, but it will be. Lan Wangji's hand curls into a fist on his knee, and Wei Wuxian notices little cuts slashed across his knuckles. A deeper one on his collarbone, smudging his robes red, and a thin red line on his forehead. Oh, shit, Wei Wuxian says. Are you okay? Is that from the glass? I can take you to a hospital. No hospitals, Lan Wangji says. He seems a bit dazed. Okay, Wei Wuxian says. Okay, yeah. I don't like him either. Just yell if you start feeling dizzy or seeing double, all right? I did not hit my head, Lan Wangji says. You took the brunt of it. I've had worse, Wei Wuxian assures him, which for some reason just makes Lan Wangji look more agitated. Having successfully convinced Lan Wangji to stop flinging healing energy at him, Wei Wuxian's stomach drops when he thinks of how, so he decides he's just not going to think about it anymore. Wei Wuxian pulls some butterfly bandages out of his cursed shit first aid pocket and patches them onto his side as a stopgap. The wounds are still bleeding sluggishly, but he doesn't think he'll need anything beyond what he's got in his bathroom cabinet back home. Maybe a few stitches, which is always fun, but, like he said, he's had worse. Lan Wangji insists on driving back to the cottage, and Wei Wuxian's head is still spinning, so he doesn't even try to protest. It's strange going back midday, the sunlight watery but bright above them, perfectly illuminating the silver threads on Lan Wangji's robes and the near gold of his eyes, which haven't left Wei Wuxian's face since they stepped out of the warehouse. Or, obviously, Lan Wangji has to watch the road at some point, but every time Wei Wuxian looks up, Lan Wangji is looking back. I'm fine, Wei Wuxian finally tells him again when they arrive. He gets out of the car, moving stiffly. Really, I'm barely bleeding anymore. I promise I'll be in better shape tomorrow. Before you go, hang on. He stares Lan Wangji to sit by the kitchen table, then retrieves rubbing alcohol and cotton swabs and a half-empty box of bandages. May I? He says when he's back, a mirror of Lan Wangji's words to him earlier. May you? Lan Wangji echoes. Wei Wuxian kneels in front of him, slowly enough for Lan Wangji to push him away if he wants. And when he does not, Wei Wuxian takes his hand and coaxes his fingers to uncurl. This'll sting, Wei Wuxian warns, and dabs at the tiny cuts on Lan Wangji's knuckles with an alcohol swab. Lan Wangji's hand twitches, but he doesn't react otherwise. Wei Wuxian cleans one hand, then the other, then continues on to the cut on Lan Wangji's collarbone. Again, Lan Wangji twitches, like half a shudder, but doesn't move as Wei Wuxian cleans it and pastes on a bandage for good measure. I know you can heal these yourself, Wei Wuxian says, but this takes 2 seconds and it's good practice. Medicine isn't just for non-cultivators, you know. Anyone can get an infection. He's talking to hide his own tinge of embarrassment. At what, he's not entirely sure, but he keeps going. We're lucky you don't have any glass splinters. Those are awful to pull out. Everything's super clean. I'd be surprised if there's even a scratch left here tomorrow. Sorry, does that feel okay? There, that's over. When he finally looks up, Lan Wangji's eyes are wide, his lips half parted. It's not the same shock from earlier, it's something else. You have, Wei Wuxian says, your forehead, one more. He rests his fingers, feather light under Lan Wangji's chin, just to say, don't move, and dabs at the cut above his eyebrow. It's not a deep cut, hardly worth the attention, but still, good to be thorough. Wei Wuxian's heart is pounding in his own ears again. He hopes, fervently and irrationally, that Lan Wangji can't hear it. Okay, he says, and drops his hands. Okay, that's all. I just wanted to... I didn't want to send you home like that. Sorry. You're good now. Good, Lan Wangji murmurs, less like he's agreeing and more like he's puzzling out the meaning of the word. He blinks hard. You didn't. What about you? Wei Wuxian waves a hand, which was a mistake because his side. Oh, ow. I'm fine. I'll stitch everything up and maybe drink some wine and go to bed early, and all will be well. I will help, Lan Wenji says, reaching for the box of bandages. Wei Wuxian swallows. Lan Zhan, don't worry about me. That's not part of your job. Lan Wenji's hand stills on the box. You helped me. That's different. Lan Wangji keeps looking at him in the way that means that response is insufficient. It's my fault you were hurt in the first place, Wei Wuxian elaborates. I see, Lan Wangji says, tone dry. I didn't realize you were the one who put the knife spirit in the Wen's warehouse. Wei Wuxian laughs because it's so Lan Zhan and, oh, when did he get so used to Lan Wangji's presence to be able to think that? When did he learn the rhythm of someone else's humor well enough to sit and joke around a kitchen table that has literally never seen another guest? And how much is it going to hurt when it's Wei Wuxian sitting alone once again? He feels abruptly, overwhelmingly exhausted. Don't take this the wrong way, Lan Zhan, but why are you even here? Lan Wangji's brow furrows. I accompanied you here from the warehouse. Are you hiding a head injury? He leans forward and cups Wei Wuxian's face, peering into his eyes, long fingers pressing gently into the skin of Wei Wuxian's jaw. For the second time today, Wei Wuxian's mind goes absolutely blank. When his brain returns from its ill-timed timeout, he scrambles to say, No, no, I know that. I meant at all, in general. He flaps his arm to indicate the two of them at this table, in this cottage, in this city. You could be doing anything. You could go anywhere. This won't even look good on your resume, not to mention you almost lost a perfectly good eyebrow today. Lan Wangji stares at him hard, and then something seems to click into place behind his eyes. You really think I could go anywhere? He says slowly. Of course, Wei Wuxian says, baffled. I don't see why you couldn't. Any research program would be lucky to have you. And if you didn't want to pursue academia or stay with the consortium, you could have a perfectly viable career as a handyman. He pauses. When he continues, his voice is smaller and he doesn't have the strength to fix it. I just don't know why you're here at all. Not really. The look Lan Wangji gives him is the most intent one yet, like he's seeing right through Wei Wuxian. No, not through, but into. Right to Wei Wuxian's golden core that isn't even there anymore, and then even deeper. Wei Wuxian, gods help him, wouldn't be able to move right now even if the whole cottage caught fire. Come, Lan Wangji says. He picks up the box of bandages and tugs the rubbing alcohol out of Wei Wuxian's hand. Wei Wuxian lets him. Huh? What are you doing? Helping you, Lan Wangji says. And he does. He takes Wei Wuxian back to the tiny bathroom and settles him on the edge of the tub, lining up the rubbing alcohol and bandages and cleaning the wounds on Wei Wuxian's hands with the same tenderness he uses to pet the rabbits. And Wei Wuxian kind of wants to die. In a good way. Then, your side, Lan Wangji says. Your robes. Oh, Wei Wuxian grimaces. Right, you know, you really don't have to. You don't have to. I don't, Lan Wangji agrees, but I will. Wei Wuxian doesn't have an argument for that. He gingerly shrugs off his outer robe and then pulls off his shirt, dumping both into the tub behind him. When he looks back, Lan Wangji's gaze is caught on his torso, to the left of the ghostmaker's cuts. Wei Wuxian knows what's so interesting. The puckered surgical scar that runs under his ribs, and the old, mottled burn on the side of his chest. Battle scars, he says lightly. Lan Wangji's eyes jump to his and stay there. Wei Wuxian looks back. Please don't ask, he wants to say, but he knows that kind of thing only makes people want to ask more. Thread, Lan Wangji says. Wei Wuxian's shoulders slump in relief. Cabinet, top shelf. Which is always a curse, having to reach for the thread, but he keeps putting it that high with the hope that he won't need it for a while. Luckily, Lan Wangji is both tall and relatively uninjured, and returns to kneel in front of Wei Wuxian in a matter of seconds. He disinfects the cuts, and Wei Wuxian doesn't complain, even though he wants to. It's both better and worse having someone else do this for him. He doesn't have to force himself to go through with it, which is a plus, but he feels like he's lost some element of control, which is... he doesn't know. He thinks he actually feels kind of fine with the fact that Lan Wangji is the one who now has that control, which... okay. Like the whole Golden Core confession, Wei Wuxian shoves that train of thought directly in the do not open part of his brain. When the cuts are sanitized and stinging, Wei Wuxian dabs on some numbing cream while Lan Wangji primes and disinfects the needle. "Have you done this before?" Wei Wuxian asks when he does so perfectly, and Lan Wangji answers, "I have." And Wei Wuxian wants to ask more because how is this man good at everything? But Lan Wangji looks very focused. Lan Wangji leans forward, surveying the cuts, glancing at, then away from, the other scars, and very carefully settles his free hand on Wei Wuxian's uninjured side. "Will this..." Lan Wangji starts. His hand is very warm. "You, Wei..." He cuts himself off, stilling, like he's been caught. Like he hadn't meant to say that out loud. Wei Wuxian remembers Lan Wangji shouting an hour ago, a frantic Wei Ying bouncing off the wide walls, reaching Wei Wuxian even through the blood rushing in his ears. Is that what he's embarrassed about? Really? "You're literally stitching my body back together," Wei Wuxian says, and winces as doing so pulls at the gash. "You can call me Wei Ying. You can call me whatever you want." Lan Wangji ducks his head, and it's not the lighting this time. His ears are definitely red. "All right," he says. "If it helps," Wei Wuxian says, "I like it." Lan Wangji nods tightly. "You were asking something?" Wei Wuxian prods, refusing to acknowledge how his stupid heart has started pounding again, as hard as it did when facing down the knife spirit. "Just now?" Lan Wangji looks at the needle in his hands, then back to Wei Wuxian's ribs. "How long will this take to heal?" "How long will it take without a golden core?" Wei Wuxian hears, and reminds himself that he'd also all but forgotten what normal healing was like back when he did have one. "About 2 weeks, maybe? It'll at least be almost done scabbing by then." Lan Wangji leans forward, hardly putting any weight behind his steadying hand, but Wei Wuxian feels anchored, held down. The first stitch goes in, pulls. "You know this from experience." "Yeah, mostly. I have a friend who's sort of a doctor, so everything else I know comes from her. Though I still heal faster than I'm supposed to, apparently. My friend says I'm just that stubborn." This is straying into territory he doesn't want to talk about, so he pivots. "But turns out the scabbing is..." "Ugh! No, keep going, it's fine. The scabbing is usually worse than the wound itself," he says. "It's so itchy."
"Are there not creams for that?"
"They never work," Wei Wuxian says, morose. "Scabs really are some kind of dark magic, and I should know." Lan Wangji ties off a stitch, moving his other hand from Wei Wuxian's hip. Wei Wuxian tells himself he has no right to feel any sort of way about it.
"Earlier," Lan Wangji says, "were you telling the truth?"
"Huh?" Wei Wuxian says. "About what, infections?" "Yes, there's no substitute for..."
"Ah! Simple first aid protocol."
Lan Wangji shakes his head.
"Earlier with the spirit, about not destroying her soul."
It takes a moment for Wei Wuxian to remember exactly what he said to the knife spirit. In his defense, it has been over an hour since then. "Yes," he says, a bit carefully. "Even spirits already consumed by resentful energy can be helped. If they want to be. At least in my experience. And..." He pauses for another stitch, trying not to make a noise this time. "It's easier to do that if you're able to manipulate their energy too, so I try to do it when I can." He takes a moment to acknowledge a pang of sadness for the spirit today, because he'd failed on that front. He hadn't had much of a choice, but still, he'll try to track down her family when this job is over. Maybe send them part of his paycheck, if he can spare it. Lan Wangji doesn't tell him he's wrong or that resentful spirits shouldn't be helped. What he says is,
"I misunderstood you."
"Ah?"
your reasons for doing what you do, Lan Wangji says. The first day I met you, I called your methods unorthodox. I misunderstood.
I mean, you weren't wrong, plus I didn't exactly explain myself, Wei Wuxian points out. He would like to unexplain himself, honestly, because Lan Wangji knowing makes him feel like he's walking around in his underwear and not in any sort of fun way. And like I said, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't tell anyone. Just let people keep thinking whatever, okay? Lan Wangji's hands still.
I will not tell anyone, he says. I promise.
Okay. Wei Wuxian knows he has no reason to trust him so immediately, but he supposes he also has no reason not to trust him. And it's not like Lan Wangji will be here much longer anyway, so hopefully Lan Wangji will keep his word for another week and carry Wei Wuxian's secret wherever he goes next until he just forgets all about it. It's the best outcome, really. Lan Wangji finishes tying the last stitch in silence. And then it's done, and Lan Wangji very gently layers a bandage over his work, his hands skimming Wei Wuxian's skin as Wei Wuxian breathes a bit too deeply, a bit too quickly, his ribs rising and falling under Lan Wangji's fingers.
Thanks,
Wei Wuxian says. It comes out as a whisper.
Lan Zhan,
thank you. Lan Wangji's hands pull back, then fall to his side. He says. His ears are still red. He helps Wei Wuxian back to his room. Not that Wei Wuxian needs help, he can walk just fine, but Lan Wangji still hovers, insisting on pulling a fresh shirt from Wei Wuxian's closet for him. In all the evenings he spent fixing things up around the house, Lan Wangji has never actually been in Wei Wuxian's bedroom. Wei Wuxian is self-aware enough to wish it were happening under different circumstances, ones where Wei Wuxian is shirtless for entirely other reasons, and he is also self-aware enough to know that will probably never happen, so he should just be grateful for the weird little moment he has right now. And also grateful that his room is at least decently clean. Wei Wuxian perches on the edge of his bed. Lan Wangji crosses the floor, shirt in hand, and has to navigate around Wei Wuxian's warded chest that's jutting out under the side table. Oh, that's... just shove that aside, Wei Wuxian says when Lan Wangji pauses. Lan Wangji blinks at the chest.
What is in here?
Just stupid stuff, mostly. Knickknacks, my sword. Lan Wangji looks at him, and it's one of the rare expressions Wei Wuxian still doesn't know how to read. He hopes it isn't pity. And other stuff, like stupid comics my friend and I did in college, that kind of thing, Wei Wuxian says in a rush, and he almost tells him. Almost brings up the other thing burning a metaphorical hole in that chest. Almost says, hey, weird question, but do you believe in dragons? You're smart. Any ideas how to find a whole lost community of them beyond the world's weirdest 58.com ad? But it's not his secret to tell, first of all. And Lan Wangji has been so nice today. It's been a long time since someone other than Wei Wuxian dressed his wounds. As much as Lan Wangji is jeopardizing his resume already by taking this job, Wei Wuxian doesn't want to see the look in Lan Wangji's eyes when he decides Wei Wuxian is actually the kind of madman who wholeheartedly believes in things that are only supposed to exist in folktales. That's it, really, Wei Wuxian finishes with a weak smile. Lan Wangji looks thoughtful, but nudges the chest out of his way and deposits the clean shirt into Wei Wuxian's hands. Then he nods and leaves, shutting the door carefully behind him. It takes Wei Wuxian longer than it should to stop staring at the shirt in his hands and actually put it on. A few minutes later, he steps outside to find Lan Wangji cross-legged in the backyard, Spot sleeping in his lap, and Not Spot by his knee, nibbling on a piece of grass held loosely in his fingers.
I would like to play Qin for them sometime, Lan Wangji says.
His voice is quiet, carried to Wei Wuxian on the faint breeze, bringing with it the distant river air and hay smell of fresh bedding in the hutch. The magnolia branches sway above them, conducting a soft afternoon symphony.
And for you.
Then, gently, as if testing the shape of the words,
Wei Ying.
Even just standing there, Wei Wuxian's stitches pull uncomfortably under his shirt. There's a still stinging cut under his left eye and a raw feeling in his throat from the dust and glass. And a moment ago, he felt piecemeal and hollow, the knife spirit's words rattling around inside of him. Lonely, lonely, lonely. And now. Okay, Wei Wuxian says, almost helplessly. Yeah, I'd like that. When Lan Wangji smiles down at the rabbits, Wei Wuxian forgets he has ever been anything but this. Whole and alive and filled to the brim with magic. Lan Wangji shows up late the next morning. Wei Wuxian surprises himself by how much he doesn't panic about it. Yes, there's a little panic, but a larger part of his brain reasons that if a violent knife spirit was enough to scare Lan Wangji off, he probably wouldn't have come back to patch Wei Wuxian up after. And he's proven right when Lan Wangji arrives just as Wei Wuxian is done feeding the rabbits, letting himself in through the front door, a basket hanging off the crook of his arm, and a travel mug in his hand. "What's that?" Wei Wuxian asks. He finishes washing up in the kitchen sink and comes to the front door, wiping his hands on his pants. Lan Wangji waits just inside the entryway, shoes still on, and he's not wearing his work robes. Instead, he's dressed in slacks and a white shirt with some sort of bow knotted at the neck, fashionably loose in a way Wei Wuxian didn't know people could pull off in real life. His hair is still tied back, but strands hang down on either side of his face. Wei Wuxian crosses his arms just to stop himself from reaching out and looping one of those strands around his finger. And then the panic returns a bit, because Lan Wangji is definitely not dressed for work. "Lan Zhan," Wei Wuxian says. "Seriously, what's all this?"
"I thought," Lan Wangji says, "we could rest today."
"Ah. Lan Zhan, I told you I'll be fine." Wei Wuxian shifts his weight, uncomfortable, not sure if he's being pitied or if Lan Wangji truly thinks Wei Wuxian is too fragile for a day's work after getting knocked around a little. He makes himself grin. It's honestly not that hard, not when he's looking at Lan Wangji. "It takes more than that to get me down. Look, I could take on a whole army of ghosts right now." He flings his arms wide, hisses when that ill-advised move pulls at his ribs, and pretends he didn't just do either of those things. Then he adds, "But you don't have to work today. I keep telling you that you work too much. If this is your way of asking for a day off, by all means, you can tell the admin office, or I can just cover for you." Lan Wangji shakes his head. "Contractually, you have 2 leisure days a week. You haven't taken a day off since I started." "Technically, I took yesterday afternoon off," Wei Wuxian points out. Lan Wangji gives him a flat look, which Wei Wuxian definitely deserves. "Anyway," Wei Wuxian continues, "you heard Jin Zixun, deadlines and all." Lan Wangji raises an eyebrow, just enough to get his point across.
"I also heard you say finishing in a week is unrealistic, no matter what."
"Well, yeah, but what else am I going to do?"
"Then let me rephrase," Lan Wangji says. "I am terribly overworked. I need a day of rest. Won't you join me?"
Wei Wuxian blinks. Before he can formulate a response, Lan Wangji hands him the travel mug. Wei Wuxian can smell the coffee, rich and sweet, and takes it with a small grateful noise.
"I have already informed the admin office that we are off today," Lan Wangji says. "Come on."
With that, he turns and walks back out the front door. Wei Wuxian has enough presence of mind to grab his keys and throw on his shoes, and then what can he do but follow? "Okay, I'll bite. Where are we going?" he says, catching up to Lan Wangji by the car. Lan Wangji seems to consider this.
"Surprise."
He holds out his hand, nodding at Wei Wuxian's keys. Wei Wuxian hands them over. He has a horrible, wonderful feeling that there isn't much he wouldn't give if it's Lan Wangji asking. Lan Wangji drives for 2 hours, something soft and instrumental floating through the car stereo, humming occasionally in acknowledgement as Wei Wuxian talks. It feels good. It feels comfortable. It feels, Wei Wuxian thinks, tipping his head against the cool window for a moment, like singing along to a song and realizing you still know all the words, even though you are a very different person than you were the last time you heard it. It feels like remembering without hurting. Very deep inside of him, something starts to stitch itself back together. Outside, the edges of the city fall away and start to yield to more and more greenery and wide fields, and, finally, thickening trees and rising mountains to the north. They stop at a small, mostly empty, dirt-packed parking lot by the riverbank. "I have to say, I didn't guess nature walk for your big day-off plan." Wei Wuxian clambers out of the car, stretching his arms above his head and sucking in a lungful of humid air. "Or boating trip? Swimming excursion? Ooh, are we hunting water ghouls?"
"Trunk,"
Lan Wangji says, unfolding gracefully from the driver's seat. Wei Wuxian obliges and pulls out the basket Lan Wangji stowed in there earlier, which turns out to contain a packed lunch. A picnic? Wei Wuxian asks, which seems somehow far more bizarre to him than a day of hunting water ghouls. Eventually, Lan Wangji says. They pick their way down the pebbled path to the riverbank. The sky is a blanket of gray, low and heavy, reflected back in the wide, dark water. It's as far from the city as Wei Wuxian has been in ages. The other riverbank is distant, lined with trees and backed by more mountains beyond them, and there's no one else around save one boat making its lazy way downstream. Lan Wangji steers them past a little kayak rental shack that's closed for the season to a thin wooden dock that stretches into the water. As soon as Wei Wuxian's feet hit the boards, he feels like a kid again, a sweltering Yunmeng summer superimposed over his vision, running footsteps slapping against another dock, and Zhang Cheng's voice in his ears whining, "No fair, no fair! Mom said not to run!" In the present, a laugh catches in Wei Wuxian's throat. "I've never been up here," Wei Wuxian hears himself say. "We used to play in the river plenty as kids, obviously, but always right by Lotus Pier. This is pretty far, though. We must be almost to Mo Ling." Lan Wangji says. "We are." He steps to the edge of the dock and inclines his head, as if greeting the river to the east. "The border of Yunmeng is right here." He looks at Wei Wuxian then, and Wei Wuxian feels himself deflate. "Ah, so you know about that." "That being the court order limiting him to Yunmeng except on official consortium business, that's been there ever since... ever since." He'll have to be careful not to stray too far today, or he'll have the consortium on his doorstep tomorrow morning, threatening to reinstate house arrest or deciding to search his cottage again just for kicks. Lan Wangji nods. "I also know that tracking charms are often confused in water." "Really?" Wei Wuxian has never tested that. Not that he's had a lot of opportunities to fiddle with the consortium's charm locked around his ankle, but still. "How does that work? Like, if I take a bath, does it go on the fritz? Or does the charm have to be in a natural waterway? I bet it's a natural waterway, right? Because of the energy. There's very little spiritual energy in most bathtubs." "Weighing." Lan Wangji looks fond and a little impatient. "I'm saying if you happen to go for a swim, no one at the consortium would notice." It takes a second, and then it clicks. Wei Wuxian breaks into a delighted grin. "Are you telling me to break the law?" Lan Wangji's lips twitch slightly. He pulls something from his sleeve and hands it to Wei Wuxian, a talisman inscribed in Lan Wangji's neat calligraphy. "To keep your bandages dry," he says. "You planned this," Wei Wuxian says, mostly to himself, and tries not to sound too odd. He probably fails. He takes the talisman and presses it over the bandages on his ribs, then yanks off his shoes, hands Lan Wangji the food basket, and jumps into the river. He lets the water buffet him downstream for a few seconds before he gets his feet under him. It's only chest height when he stands, and he shakes his head, messy ponytail flinging water everywhere. The laugh he swallowed earlier comes back with a vengeance, and he tips his head back, turning his face toward the low-hanging clouds and feeling the river swirl around him. He's in Mo Ling. He's in Mo Ling! The consortium's charm on his ankle is inert, and his strange, brilliant, wonderful co-worker, his strange, brilliant, wonderful friend, maybe, brought him here instead of the curse-filled warehouse. Wei Wuxian can breathe. The current is more of a tug than a pull, hardly fighting him when he works his way back to the dock where Lan Wangji is standing, watching him with a look Wei Wuxian can only describe as quietly pleased. Wei Wuxian hoists his head and shoulders over the edge of the dock, just enough that his feet no longer touch the riverbed, propping his chin on his folded arms. "I think it worked," he says, a bit breathless. "It's working." Lan Wangji says. Wei Wuxian hears the satisfaction in it. "Really," Wei Wuxian says, "this is... I hadn't even thought of this. Water. I live in Lotus Pier and all this time... not that I was planning to, but still... Lan Zhan, Lan... do you have more than one older brother?" Lan Wangji blinks. "No, just the one." "Okay." Wei Wuxian lays his cheek on his arm, looking up through his lashes. Gods, he's not even trying to be so obvious, to be so over the top, but it's like he's too big for his own skin right now. Lan Wangji's perfectly dry ankle is half a meter away, and Wei Wuxian wants to reach out and tug. Laner gaga, he says, holding each syllable on his tongue an extra moment, a spun sugar candy he doesn't want to dissolve too fast. You really are something else, aren't you?
Aye,
Lan Wangji says, his ears flush pink. Wei Wuxian wonders how many people have called him that, have been familiar enough to call out Laner gaga back home, or wherever he was before Yunmeng. If any of them have seen this, Lan Wangji's carefully neutral expression, his pink ears. Somehow, Wei Wuxian thinks he knows the answer. There's a warm glow in his belly. He plunges underwater to shock it out of his system, but it doesn't die down. If anything, when Wei Wuxian resurfaces to find Lan Wangji still standing in the exact same position on the dock, eyes unwavering on Wei Wuxian, it grows warmer. Wei Wuxian thinks he's okay with that. The water is freezing. It's perfect. He's absolutely soaked, and Lan Wangji is there on the dock, the tiniest of smiles blooming on his face as Wei Wuxian flagrantly, if minorly, throws up a middle finger to the consortium. It could only be better if... You should join me. Wei Wuxian pushes a lock of wet hair off his cheek. It's probably his imagination, but it looks like Lan Wangji's eyes track the gesture, follow rivulets of water down Wei Wuxian's collarbone to the river below. It's as if Lan Wangji wants... As if he wants to swim, too, surely. Come, Wei Wuxian wheedles. We drove all the way out here. You can't pretend you don't want to have fun now. I'll show you how to get the stains out of your clothes later. I know a trick. Lan Wangji's small smile fades. Not today. Oh. Wei Wuxian squints up at him. Whatever expression Lan Wangji is making now, he's turned his face to the side and Wei Wuxian can't catch it. Not a fan of swimming?
I am, Lan Wangji says, and he sounds borderline offended. Very much so. I grew up near plenty of water.
Where? Wei Wuxian asks, hefting himself back onto the dock. He pulls out a talisman paper of his own. Lan Wangji frowns as Wei Wuxian pricks his finger to complete it, but it's worth it for the rush of energy that dries his clothes. It's not like he's gonna keep paddling around if Lan Wangji isn't in a swimming mood, but Wei Wuxian also doesn't want to leave the dock just yet. Being here, over the water, facing Lan Wangji, feels too much like, well, a mix of his past and present and maybe a bit of his future all jumbled together. He needs another few minutes for his brain to untangle itself, he decides, and promptly sits down, bracing himself on his palms and tilting his head back to see Lan Wangji.
Gusu,
Lan Wangji says once Wei Wuxian is settled. It takes Wei Wuxian a moment to remember what question he's answering. Oh yeah, you went to Tsai for school. Did you live near there? Lan Wangji blinks at him again. I saw it on your resume, Wei Wuxian says.
Ah, yes, not far from Tsai.
When did you move to Lotus Pier?
A year ago.
Lan Wangji glances down the river, like he's peering all the way through Moling and right to Gusu and its coastline. And mountains? Wei Wuxian's pretty sure there's a giant lake there, too, if he remembers his primary school geography well enough.
I was... foolish.
Hey, Wei Wuxian protests half-heartedly. Lotus Pier's not that bad.
It's not Lotus Pier.
Lan Wangji pauses. Then, carefully, he settles down cross-legged on the boards, facing Wei Wuxian.
I spent much of my life following rules. My family is... strict.
Strict like finish your homework before you play outside, or strict like... Wei Wuxian stops, not totally sure how to phrase this. Lying is forbidden in my family, he remembers Lan Wangji saying. You couldn't play outside at all? Lan Wangji considers this for a moment too long.
Strict with expectations. Rules for studying, rules for appearance, rules for... friends.
Wei Wuxian's mouth is already open to say, that's rough, but more tactful somehow, he'd figure it out, when Madame Yu's face flashes across his mind and he stops. He'd certainly had appearances to keep growing up in that house. Expectations for his grades, his presentation, the kinds of classmates he could bring home. As indulgent as Uncle Zhang had been, Wei Wuxian still had a narrow lane to walk, and he'd never not known it. Maybe he understands, a bit, what Lan Wenji is saying.
I was allowed outside, Lan Wenji continues. My family is not cruel. I have been to university, I have pursued research in music, but I have also been bound to duties close to home and did not have the chance to see much beyond Gusu. So when a family matter of sorts arose in Yunmeng, I volunteered to see to it. I wanted to travel, and I thought the matter would be easy to handle myself.
Another pause.
It did not go as planned.
Yeah, Wei Wuxian says ruefully. You ended up working with me. Probably not something that fits into anyone's 5-year plan. Then, as it occurs to him, wait, do you mean the family matter went sideways? Are you all right? Oh man, you really are in debt, aren't you? That's why you took this shitty job.
No, Lan Wenji says. I am not in debt. The matter was resolved.
Something like relief passes through Wei Wuxian, along with a still-present thread of confusion.
That's good, he says. But then you're still here? Lan Wenji pauses again. He reaches up to touch his forehead, then drops his hand.
I lost something in the process, he says.
The words are soft, deliberate, almost swallowed by the hum of the river, the nature haze of insects and tree and sky.
I cannot go home without it.
Oh, Wei Wuxian says. Like your passport? I think you can just get those replaced, right? Or is it some sort of heirloom? Do you know where you last saw it?
Wei Ying,
Lan Wenji says, and Wei Wuxian's breath hitches a bit. He swallows, hoping Lan Wenji doesn't notice.
No, it is against the rules to discuss this type of family matter with outsiders.
Ah. The word outsiders rattles around in Wei Wuxian's head for a moment before he forcibly beats it down. That makes sense. It's more polite than necessary, really, Lan Wenji referencing his family's rules, instead of just saying outright that Wei Wuxian is being too nosy. He pastes the grin back on. Well, let me know if you find whatever it is, yeah? So I have a little warning before I have to do inventory all by myself again. A new line appears between Lan Wenji's eyebrows, the kind that means frustrated.
I am trying to tell you that I cannot... should not tell you.
Okay. He gets it. He really gets it. Rules, right?
Yes, Lan Wenji says. Even telling you that much is against the rules.
He swallows.
I want...
The silence stretches on again as Lan Wenji wars with whatever is supposed to come after want. Maybe it's to give you a heads up, and this is his way of saying he's leaving soon, explaining his family obligations, why he won't be staying after the job, or after he finds his heirloom, or lost passport, or rare book. And he's doing it in this weird roundabout way because he thinks Wei Wuxian will be upset.
Lonely,
the knife spirit's voice says in his mind. You don't owe me anything. Lan Zhan, Wei Wuxian says. Whatever this is, I don't have any expectations of you. Lan Wenji presses his hand over his eyes.
I know that now.
Wei Wuxian waits to see if he'll say any more. It feels like there should be more, but silence settles back over them. A breeze sweeps across the river, ruffling the loose locks of hair around Lan Wenji's face. He somehow, Wei Wuxian thinks, manages to make even that look graceful. His hair in the breeze is no different than faint ripples across the water's surface. Lan Wenji sits on a sun-weathered dock in the shallows of a giant river and weathers the wind like it's the most natural thing in the world. Like he's a piece of nature himself, a single note in its melody. It's okay, Wei Wuxian says after a while. I get weird family stuff. I grew up with the Jiang, so it wasn't like things were exactly normal for me. I definitely wouldn't, like, talk about any of their family issues to anyone. Both because he'd usually felt like an intruder, very, very careful of his place even as he grew older, or because he'd often been the issue. Even now, it'd feel weird, so I don't know, you don't have to explain for me to believe you. Lan Wenji looks at him for a long moment, his shoulders loosening just a bit.
The Jiangs, he says, finally.
Yeah, you met them. Well, you met my brother. You met Zhang Cheng and Yuferin. They were outside your apartment that day? Lan Wenji nods after a moment.
I didn't realize they were your family.
Well, they're not.
anymore. It's complicated. Other than that evening outside my apartment, Lanwanji says slowly, you have not spoken to them, that I am aware.
I've spoken to Jieje, Wei Wuxian protests, the other day when you were walking by the river. But yeah, she's the only one who... Lanzhan, really? You don't know?
Lanwanji shakes his head.
You know about the tracking charm on my ankle, but not what happened between Wei Wuxian and the Zhang family?
Wei Wuxian presses, trying not to sound incredulous.
I could sense the tracking charm,
Lanwanji says.
I asked Lo Qingyang about it the morning you spilled coffee on your sleeve and went back to your car to...
He stops, troubled.
Did the burn take long to heal?
It was hardly a burn, Wei Wuxian says. It's fine, it's gone now. Okay, you asked Mian Mian, got it.
She said it was not fair, Lanwanji says, but she did not explain beyond that.
Okay, well, Wei Wuxian isn't used to this. For the last few years, it seemed like everyone he encounters already knows everything about him, or at least everything they think they need to know. It's a thrilling story, but maybe not for a picnic. Let's wait for a gloomy day, or a thunderstorm to really set the mood.
He picks at a little needle of wood splintering off from one of the boards. The relevant thing right now is the Zhangs disown me. So technically I'm not their problem, their family, anymore. But I did grow up with them, so there's that. And that's all, I guess. Just that I get the family thing on some level.
Lanwanji nods again. Wei Wuxian waits for him to press anyway. Why would the most powerful family in Yunmeng disown you? What did you do? But he doesn't.
Instead, Lanwanji stands, holding out his hand. Wei Wuxian takes it and has the singular experience of being pulled to his feet by Lanwanji, something that leaves him dizzied and steadied all at once.
It is lunchtime,
Lanwanji says, as if they hadn't just cracked themselves open sitting on this dock, as if he isn't even thinking of looking at Wei Wuxian differently now.
If you would like to join me.
Lanzhan, Wei Wuxian says with his whole heart.
I would like nothing more.